The information provided on this podcast does not and is not intended to constitute legal advice. Listeners should contact their attorney to obtain advice with respect to any particular legal matter.
If you go a little bit further than that, you have Amata, who I think just recently introduced a bill in Congress, where she looks at essentially the three cases that's going on right now, the complaints that they have, right? Starting from the Tuawa case, where this guy who wants to become a police officer, he was denied because he was not a U.S. citizen, but yet he's a U.S. national. So, and then you have the people in Utah who is arguing and saying that for pretty much the same thing, that they should become U.S. They should be automatically become a U.S. citizen so they could, you know, afford all these opportunities. Because I think, you know, this new administration that's going on right now, where when Trump came into office, his main thing was to try to fix the immigration policy that they have in the U.S. And I think that kind of affected the, you know, the people of American Samoa, the Pacific Islanders and whatnot. But, you know, sort of created this hysteria. And I think you and I both talked about it.
Exactly.
When in fact, there's already processes in place to help U.S. citizenship.
Exactly. And it comes from just this retelling of history. For instance, there's a claim that the Mao movement wanted citizenship, but that's absurd. If American Samoans know that the Mao movement was a resistance movement, a resistance from occupation and a resistance from colonization, how would citizenship be in alignment with that? But it's being perverted. Our history is being perverted to support this agenda. So the Mao movement, which is a very beautiful part of Samoan history, period, was a political independence movement in Samoa. It was used for Western Samoa to gain its independence. It was an indigenous response. And we can't be fooled into believing that birthright citizenship is in favor of what indigenous people want. Us indigenous people of American Samoa, we of course want to preserve our culture. We of course want to preserve our land. But you will be fooled into believing that you're gaining something with birthright citizenship for the United States when there's nothing for free. There's going to be a trade-off.
Right. Yeah, I think it's blown out of proportions, and we need to, you know, bring it, you know, to make sure that people are understanding the issue.
It's complicated, and we get that it's complicated, which is why, you know, me and you decided to have this show so we can make these issues less complicated. And again, with the rich historical background that you provided, and then you briefed the cases for Tuawa and the Fiti Samanu case, you know, now we're able to understand that, you know, this is an attack on our sovereignty. We may not be fully sovereign in American Samoa. We are a U.S. territory, but we are quasi-sovereign. We have quasi-power, and that power is in the land. For instance, in a previous discussions me and you had, we've been talking about Pacific Islander issues here on the mainland. One of the issues is evictions and homelessness and displacement.
Right.
Are we really American Samoans going to give that terrible issue from here to our brothers and sisters back home?
That's a terrible thing.
Are we really going to give them homelessness, give them displacement? Because that's what we're going to, if we push this birthright citizenship agenda, because that birthright citizenship, the trade-off will be dispossession of land, displacement. Because how do you prevent displacement? You pass your land from parent to child to grandchild. If we have generational wealth, in our case, generational land, then we will prevent homelessness. We will prevent displacement in American Samoa. But if we're tricked into taking birthright citizenship, we will become vulnerable to displacement, because rich people, who we are not, will come and purchase land that used to go to your children. They will purchase that. And then you won't have something for your children. And seven generations later, we will be crying for that land. And right. the Hawaiian sovereignty movement knows all about that. There's been a lot of tears for the Hawaiian kingdom, and we don't want to become what happened to the Hawaiian kingdom.
We don't have to look that far to sort of, you know, if you need an example, all you got to do is just look at Hawaii and look at what happened to Guam. Look at what happened to the natives of Guam and natives of Hawaii, right? I mean, that's what's going to happen to the natives, our people, American Samoa. You know, it's such a terrible thing when you look at it. And if you bring the system into American Samoa, you know, bad enough, we don't, you know, the system that's in the U.S., I love it. I have nothing against it. And I think, you know, this system of supply and demand and, you know, taxes and everything, I think it's a perfect system.
It works here. Yeah,
it works here. You know, you try to incorporate that in you know, in the islands. We are, you know, we're then, you know, it's not, it's, we're at a disadvantage if that ever gets to American Samoa.
Yes. We have to acknowledge that we're not broken. There's nothing to fix. We are not broken. And we have to acknowledge that we're actually richer than the rich, because why are we richer than the rich? We possess something. What do we possess? We possess land. So we can't be fooled into giving that up, because once that's taken, with no land, there's no political power. And with no political power, there's no sovereignty. We can't give
that up. I don't think, people don't understand, you know, the realization that how much land is really valuable in the U.S. You look at the U.S. and you look at all these different companies and whatnot. You know, just to give you an example of, you know, where this issue of generational wealth comes in. So, and, you know, you move to the U.S. and then you're thinking, you go in there and you get a rent, right? You're paying a rent to someone. That someone then gets the rent. He pays, I'm assuming he pays the landlord or some kind of, there's always someone behind it. But the only thing that's stable and is someone who owns that land, right? So, you know, that's always going to be there. You know, there's always going to be businesses. There's always going to be houses. There's always going to be this and that. But there's no stability. Yes. The only stability that is guaranteed is, I think they refer to the term masonry, right? People who own the land. Mm-hmm. So they're the ones who collect some sort of a fee from all this that's going on. It's sort of like that. And so that's the system that's in the U.S. right now. American Samoa, just like how you mentioned, we are, you know, we're rich in a sense that we own these lands.
Yes. Right? We can't be fooled.
That's our generational wealth.
Yes. We can't be fooled. And how do we know that that's wealth? Ask the American Samoans here in the mainland. How hard is it to pay for a temporary home? It's called rent. To pay for a temporary car, it's called a lease. We have nothing here, but we have something back home that we are being tricked into believing is not valuable, because we're being tricked into believing that these other benefits that the birthright citizenship is offering is more valuable. When, as we explain, when you balance these factors, it's outweighed. The benefits of birthright citizenship are outweighed by our land titles and sovereignty, which are more important. The fact that there's already an alternative, which is naturalization. You can obtain citizenship through naturalization or military. And then the third is for not going for birthright citizenship is to prevent displacement of indigenous people from their land. We want American Samoa to remain indigenous, and it will not remain indigenous once we take that birthright citizenship. If we will be buyable, purchasable, we will be open for the highest bidder.
Right now, you have to be 50% of Samoan ancestry.
Yes.
To purchase land in I think in American Samoa and Western Samoa.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, back then, you know, when the two islands were colonized, you know, people that were coming in, the outsiders were coming in, were thinking, hey, wait a minute, let's go marry someone who's of Samoan, so that way our kids could have a chance at purchasing these lands. I mean, so I think, you know, this is one of the laws that needs to be amended or needs to be changed to sort of combat these exploitation of laws in American Samoa or in Western Samoa.
Hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of issues going on that's involving property in American Samoa, not only just in American Samoa, but in Western Samoa too. And I know we talked about that new system that they have in Western Samoa, where they're starting to have, you know, rent fees. They're essentially having a new law where it's property law. And people of American Samoa are in Western Samoa, they're raising hell, right? You know, isn't this what we fought against when we were doing that Mau movement? So this, they got that whole thing going on over there. And what I think for people in American Samoa, they really ought to pay attention to what's going on in Western Samoa. So there's a lot going on in the Pacific. And I think for this issue of citizenship in American Samoa, I think it's well addressed. I think we've responded really well in terms of Amata having a bill open, introducing a bill in the Congress, and having to look at some of the laws to make some changes to make it easier for people who are U.S. nationals to attain citizenship. And she's looking into areas to benefit those, you know, the plaintiffs that are suing the State Department in Utah, and they raise some really good issues. So her bill pretty much covers for that. But it didn't change her stance in terms of supporting the idea that citizenship is an issue for, you know, the people of American Samoa, the Fono to decide, which is the legislature in American Samoa. We pretty much have responded to effectively to these concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Governor Lolo, I think he opened up, there's a new department right now in trying to sort of responding to the issue of citizenship. He opened what's called the Office of Political Status Constitutional Review and I think Federal Relations. And I think that's a really good start, right? And I think they're also partnering with other Pacific Islands in terms of sharing ideas of, what's good for the people, you know, essentially what these islands, these native islands are concerned about is preserving the culture, the people, the identity and everything, because identity means a lot to people of the Pacific, right?
That it carries capital for us, our culture. It's not the same as, I would say, industrialized nations. I feel that they're so modernized that they see themselves as a one world culture. Whereas right. For Pacific people, we realize the value of identity, the value of culture, because culture is also an extension of ancestors. So if we have a duty, especially for Samoans, right. We have a duty to preserve our ancestors' name and values. So when that is stripped from us, when that's stripped from us, it's a robbery. You're taking something that's of great value from us. Mm-hmm.
I think it is. I think, you know, that you're right. I think you mentioned it, that you hit it right there, that, you know, it's our duty to protect what was initiated by our forefathers when they signed that deed of cession. You know, they did it for future generations, for the people of American Samoa, and because, you know, they understood the importance of identity, right?
Mm-hmm. Especially back then, I believe they did. The issue of birthright citizenship in American Samoa is especially being raised in this generation, because we are very you know, we're very assimilated, we're very Americanized. The U.S. nationals here in the States, we're very assimilated. And so I feel that we've adopted some attractive ideas and concepts that, as you mentioned, work here. They work uniquely here in this melting pot. But back mm-hmm. home, where it's homogeneously American Samoan, and in the other Pacific territories that are homogenous or dominantly, predominantly indigenous, it does not work to have what works here on the mainland elsewhere or in our homes. It just doesn't. And as Leoma mentioned, we're not going to fix what's not broken. It's already fixed. Is there room for improvement? Of course, as Leoma has mentioned, some additions and changes that need to be made for progress. But what's not progressive is giving up land, and what's not progressive is betraying what our elders and our ancestors wanted, which is the continuation of culture. It's the continuation of land possessed by indigenous people. And yes, we did, through the deeds of cession, we did make a compromise. We traded protection from the U.S. for partial sovereignty. We transferred partial sovereignty to them that they could, they would have power and authority over us. However, also mentioned in the cession, the deeds of cession, is that the government of the U.S. must respect and protect individual rights of all people dwelling in Tutuila. But even in the cession of Manu'a, when the U.S. flag was raised in Manu'a, it was to grant protection. That's reinforcing the idea that, yes, we did want protection, but we didn't want complete and absolute control over us. That's right. Not something that we would ever do.
Tumanua was really hesitant in terms of following what the leaders of American Samoa did. If you go back to history, American Samoa became part of the U.S. in the 1900s, right? And so the leaders of American Samoa were like, hey, Tumanua, you want to, you know, jump into this sort of... But he was hesitant, right? He was hesitant to have his island of Manu'a to be part of the U.S. And his main concern was, you know, what if we lose our identity? What if we lose our people, our culture? So it was really important to him. He had to really think about it for 4 years, right? So Manu'a became part of the U.S. in 1904. He put in a lot of thought. I mean, and here we are thinking about, why are people born in American Samoa not afforded this citizenship to become the citizens? But I think, you know, people really need to sit down, do some research, and sort of have, you know, so they can have a thorough understanding of what's going on and what's really best for the people of American Samoa. And I think we're ready to attack this issue on birthright citizenship.
Thank you for listening. Please join us for our next episode on Pacifica Issues Podcast.